chapter 5, Paradise. Scripture teaches the regeneration of natural creation. Before telling about the visions of paradise, we wish to show that such a paradise as these children saw is in accord with the Father's plans for His children, as revealed in His written word. When the Lord created the first perfect man and his perfect bride, He planted a garden eastward in Eden, in which He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made Jehovah God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. Genesis 2:9. Hence, in the beginning, the Lord planned for men to dwell in the midst of all the beauties of nature. He was given a home in the garden in the eastern part of Eden, the wonder park that God Himself planned and planted. In that order there was no sin. There was no sickness or death. There was no thorn or thistle. There was no curse. That was a different world from this. That world was a heaven on earth, with man enjoying what might have been eternal life, in dominion over a whole world of trees and flowers, pleasant to the sight, a whole world of beauty and glory such as the present earth has never seen. God planned all these things for man's eternal happiness. When sin entered, man's enjoyment of this creation became a limited, temporal enjoyment. The first creation of birds and flowers and trees and animals that were in the first world and its Eden in an eternal state fell into a lower order that is not eternal. For the creation fell into subjection to failure and unreality. Sin lost to man his Eden Park and his Eden God. Restored from sin, man will be restored to his Eden God and his Eden Park. But man will be restored to more than the primal order. He will be born again into the new spiritual order. The first order was earthly. The last is spiritual but real. It is similar to the earthly, even as Christ after his resurrection was real and similar, but still spiritual and different from the earthly order. He still could eat and drink with his disciples. He still had flesh and bones that could be felt, and hands that could serve fish and bread to his hungry disciples. But in the resurrected order, the Lord was not subject to the limitations of the material world of time and space and physical bounds. Even so, the world with its natural order of animal, bird, and plant creation is to be born again into a higher spiritual order, similar to the first creation, but also different from it. It will be the real order, not again subject to corruption and unreality. Romans 8:20. The natural creation is to be born again through the resurrection of Christ. Christ saves more than man. He saves the whole creation that fell into unreality in the fall of man. For all creation, gazing eagerly, as if with outstretched neck, is waiting and longing to see the manifestation of the sons of God. There was always the hope that, at last, the creation itself would also be set free from the thraldom of decay, so as to enjoy the liberty that will attend the glory of the children of God. Romans 8:19-21. If this does not mean that the present natural order of plant, animal, and all natural life looks forward to being set free in the same resurrected order and the same liberty the saved are to enjoy in a new estate, what does it mean? All nature looks forward to the new spiritual generation that belongs to the redeemed, for Christ brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Christ himself is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. How is Christ the firstborn of all creation, unless it be that in his resurrection into the new order, animal and plant creation will eventually follow in this order as the full harvest of which Christ was but the first fruits. Even the earth itself is to be regenerated in the new order, since, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. 2 Peter 3:13. Will not that new earth have trees and flowers, and animals and birds, and all the beauties of glorified nature in a higher incorruptible order that shall abide forever? The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Isaiah 11:6. These things are as certain as the word of God. For he that sitteth on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Revelation 21:5. John saw a new heaven and a new earth. And he also saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven to the new earth. As there was an Eden Park of pleasure and fruits on the first earth, so also in a higher, regenerated, resurrected order, the New Jerusalem will contain an Eden Park on the new earth in the new order. This Eden Park is already in heaven in the New Jerusalem that is not yet descended, but is soon coming down. Paradise is a park of plant, animal, and regenerated nature. Perhaps the revelation of such a paradise in heaven as Adullam saw will be as new to most of the readers as it was to us. This is because we are so dull of mind and slow of heart to believe all that is written in the scriptures. We did not teach these children about this paradise. The children taught us. Some of the smallest children, who were naturally most ignorant of these matters, were our best teachers. That they got these things from the Lord is clearly evident, as you will see by a comparison with the teaching of the Bible. It teaches there is just such a paradise in heaven as these children saw. Paul said he knew a man who was called up even to the third heaven, and that this person was called up into paradise. In the messages of Revelation, the Spirit saith to the churches, "To him that overcometh, to him will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Revelation 2, verse 7. Of the heavenly scene we are also told that, on this side of the river and on that, was the tree of life bearing 12 manner of fruits. Hence there is paradise in heaven with flowing water and trees of fruit. This paradise is a great park of surpassing wonder. That is just what the word paradise means. Paradise means Eden. Eden means paradise. Eden is a park. Paradise is therefore a park. Palobay's Bible Dictionary says of paradise, "This is a word of Persian origin and is used in the Septuagint as the translation of Eden. It means an orchard of pleasure and fruits, a garden, or pleasure ground, something like an English park. But this park in heaven is only something like a park on earth, because it is as much greater than earthly parks in extent and beauty, as God's thoughts are greater than man's thoughts. Man's most beautiful parks, with their picturesque landscapes, their flowing streams, their crystal pools, the wooded nooks, the verdant greens, the fragrant variegated flowers, the caroling birds, and animal pets, are only imperfect imitations on the part of man to reproduce the Eden that was in the beginning. If God did not put into the heart of man this love for nature and this desire for natural parks of pleasure and fruit, whence came this universal love of nature that has been in the heart of man from the days of his earliest history? Is all man's efforts to preserve a little of the vanishing natural beauties of this cursed and perishing earth only a vain fancy to be followed for only a few fleeting years? Is a love for the birds and animals and flowers and trees and mountains and valleys and lakes and streams and all this handiwork of God just a passing amusement given by the Lord to cheer us a little on this pilgrim journey? Are not the finest combinations of all that is beautiful in nature just mere foreshadows of the unperverted and unlimited realities in the paradise of God in heaven? These natural beauties are not just scenes passed on a pilgrim journey. They are guideways of God, pointing to the Eden of beauty at the end of the way. Love of nature may become an eternal love, enlarged beyond all natural limits for all who overcome by the blood of the Lamb, who, by faith in Him, enter by the gates into the city with its paradise of God, the Eden Park in heaven whose beauty sin will never mar. Adullam children see paradise, the heaven park. You will be interested, as we were, in what our Adullam children saw in the paradise, the Eden, in the city beyond the sky. One of the young men was in paradise almost as soon as he entered the heavenly city. There he was met by the two Adullam boys who had died in Hokau. These boys, taking him through paradise and the other parts of the holy city, soon came to a great, lawn-like, grassy, open plot, surrounded by magnificent trees, golden and sparkling. The whole scene was so entrancing, the young man said to his two glorified friends, "This is good enough for me. There cannot be anything more beautiful. I will stay right here." The boys who had preceded him to heaven said, "No, do not wait here, for there are much greater marvels." Going on a little farther, they came to still more wonderful trees, some of them bearing fruit. The whole park-like surrounding and the grassy lawn beneath the trees were enticing beyond any earthly understanding. The young man said, "I must stay here. I cannot go on and leave this great beauty. I am so happy." "Come on," said the others. There are many things in heaven exceeding this. You go, he replied, but I shall remain right here for a while. The others left him on the grass under the trees, with the great, open, velvet-like grassy space before him. Floods of joy and happiness he had never known on earth flooded his whole being. He was in the land of joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory, the land that is fairer than day. Frequently an angel came walking by, playing a harp and singing. The angel smiled, offered him the harp. I cannot play, he said. The angel passed by. Soon other angels came, smiling to him as they played and sang. The angels were dressed in seamless garments of white. Their faces were perfect. One was not more beautiful than another. When they smiled, oh, I can't describe that, the boy said. There is no way on earth to describe the angel's smile. Similar and surpassing beautiful scenes in paradise were seen, repeatedly seen, by a large number of Adullam children. In paradise they saw trees bearing the most delicious fruit, and vistas of most beautiful flowers of every color and hue, sending forth an aroma of surpassing fragrance. There were birds of glorious plumage, singing their carols of joy and praise. In this park were also animals of every size and description, large deer, small deer, large lions, great elephants, lovely rabbits, and all sorts of little friendly pets such as they had never seen before, playing with the lion and other animals in the Heaven Paradise Park. The children held the little pets in their arms and passed them from one to another, or perhaps they found the lion peacefully lying beneath the tree. In that case, they climbed on his back, ran their fingers through his shaggy mane, brushed his face, and put their hands in his mouth. If they so desired, they curled down beside him to enjoy together the love of their common maker. Why not? Somewhere, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Their young ones shall lie down together. Isaiah 11:6-8. Little children rode the small deer, while older children rode the larger deer or the friendly elephant. All was perfect love. All was great harmony. Such shouts of joy. Such happy childish laughter. Who but our Father in heaven ever thought of or planned such a paradise? Eating and drinking in the heaven park of pleasure and fruits. When hungry, the children ate of the wonderful fruit or gathered freely the sweet-tasting, refreshing manna that was scattered all about. Were they thirsty? Here and there trickled little brooks of the stimulating and refreshing water of life. Adullam sees the Bible saints in heaven. In the open lawn-like vistas amidst the trees and flowers and birds of paradise, Adullam saw companies of the redeemed dancing and playing trumpets with the angels. Sometimes they joined this happy festival group, in which were small children, larger children, and adults, but where no one was old. What heavenly scenes! What heavenly singers! What joy among the angels and the redeemed! The angels pointed out Abraham, David, Daniel, the prophets, the saints, and the martyrs of old. They saw Peter, James, Paul, and others of whom the world was not worthy. Our boy from the poor Mao tribe saw his aunt and his own little sister who had gone ahead to the land over there. Taking our boys by the hand, our little Chinese Mary, who died in Kochu, now joined them in heaven. One boy was given a vision of the death of a Christian. As relatives and friends gathered about the dying one, an angel stood by the bed awaiting the liberating of the Christian soul. When the man was set free from his bodily encumbrance, the angel took him by the arm and ascended with him into heaven. The principalities and powers of evil hosts in mid-heaven, in their attempts to hinder the passage of the angel and his charge, were overcome by the angel's faith and praise as the ascent continued toward the heavenly city. Having been welcomed at the gate, this new arrival was received by hosts of angels, singing, dancing, rejoicing, all uniting in giving him a royal welcome into the eternal city of the redeemed.